Oh, wait. Did you already hit
Go
the thing?
Go for
it. You did hit the thing. Okay. Live from HWR HQ is the 423rd edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Chris.
And thank you so much for tuning in today. If you're watching us live, awesome. Log into your YouTube account. That way you could, chat along with us in the live chat here on the whole handy-dandy smartphone. So, you know, if you're there, just say hi. Ask us questions.
Talk shit.
Talk shit. Correct him. Whatever.
We're going that way already.
Yes. I will see your comment, and I will try to involve you as best as I can in the show. If you are not watching this live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook. Facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio.
It's been a while, man. How
it's
you
been a little bit. Yeah. I'm good, man. How are you?
Oh, we can do that one again. Okay. There we go. Better percussion.
Yeah, man. There you go.
It's been a minute, man. How you been?
Good, man. Good.
Yeah.
There was a lot of wrestling that happened.
A lot
of good stuff that happened, I would say. But yeah, and we got a lot to do. I hope you have good notes.
I'll try.
Yeah, okay.
Let's start with Forbidden Door.
Forbidden Door.
The pay-per-view is over.
Yes.
In that moment, what's your opinion?
Man, I was thoroughly entertained by Forbidden Door. I thought it was a really, really good show. Despite the fact that, like, a lot of times with Forbidden Door, a lot of the matches are just kind of thrown together because it's like, oh, yeah, we had all these storylines, but we got to shoehorn all the New Japan folk in there, too, now. So it's like, sometimes a little iffy, you know, as far as booking goes. But I don't know. I was very entertained by what it is that I saw. What about you?
Agreed. I felt like this flowed a whole lot better than the first Forbidden Door.
Okay.
I think the quality of the matches were better. There weren't as many like six mans or eight mans or tags of people just to get on the show for the sake of them being on the show.
Yeah.
I liked it. What's the first match that pops in your head? What do you think of last couple weeks ago, Forbidden Door?
Man, dude, I mean, I gotta talk about the match that I thought was like the best, because it's the thing that's the most pressing on my mind, right? The thing that I'm like, oh, we gotta talk about this. Omega, Ospreay,
Part 2.
Yeah, Part 2. Yeah, bro, that match. Woo! That match was a banger and a half, dude.
I really liked it.
And I kind of liked the fact that it wasn't just the in between the bells thing. There were some shenanigans that happened, and I know shenanigans sometimes will lower the value for like Arnold and stuff, but I kind of liked it because it's not what I expected. And it's more of, oh yeah, the Japan guys are coming over here, and y'all are wrestling our style, and you know what, you're going to have the heels kind of do shit that they're not supposed to do, and you know, it seemed like Ospreay was like, okay, I know where I'm at, I gotta do, you know, that kind of stuff. So I felt like it was a good mix between East and West, the match itself.
Gotcha. Damn, I didn't bring any Astros hats today. I could have pulled an Arnold here.
Oh, I could get you one.
I think the part of the shenanigans is what minimally lowered it for me as far as... At the end of the day, I sat there before the match started. I'm gonna rewind back a couple takes. I was getting high as fuck the day Forbidden Door happened. I fell asleep. Right when Omega and Ospreay started.
Oh, damn.
And I didn't wake up until after Danielson won.
Okay.
So I had to rewatch it after the fact, okay, knowing what the results were.
Okay.
So that bloom was already off the rose. So the only thing I had left was to watch Omega and Ospreay, unfortunately, with the baggage of the first one's already going to be hard to top.
Yeah.
There was a couple of things in the second one that I couldn't really wrap my head around.
Mm-hmm.
For someone that watches the programming,
yeah,
someone that knows about the other side of the ocean, with Wrestle Kingdom in mind already, when Wrestle Kingdom happened, Ospreay had his entire United Nations there at ringside to like support him.
True, yeah.
So I didn't understand why Callis had the security guards there after Callis got kicked out.
Mm.
after Kallus got kicked out. And so if Kallus already got kicked out, then why the fuck was he came back and nothing really happened? Okay. You know, some of the shenanigans, if it made sense, it's bacon on top of whatever you're eating. Yeah. If it doesn't make sense, it just, it doesn't work. And a lot of, and some of that for me, just, it didn't feel good.
Okay.
What balanced that out was shit timing by the announcers, because they weren't keeping up in the moment, but Omega kicking out at one from the One-Winged Angel. Mm-hmm. Woo! Nelly, that brought me, that reeled me right back in.
Yeah.
Other than the stuff outside of the ring with drama that wasn't necessarily needed to enhance this match as being a sequel to the first match that's on our Match of the Year list already. Mm-hmm. There were some parts in this match in the ring that I felt were better than the first one, and that's one of the examples.
Okay, yeah, fair. That's fair.
The only problem is having the discussion, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Like, would this match have been as good if this was the first match? Or was it, there was a first match, because the first match happened, this match had more sizzle, or had more story into it. And even then, if it had that much more story into it already, I feel like the Kallus stuff wasn't needed. You know, I think that's my major gripe, is that the whole Kallus stuff wasn't necessary.
I mean, you do have a point where, and this even happened at, what was it? Was it Mania? Where somebody got ejected. It was Solo, right? Mm-hmm. Solo got ejected.
And then he came back.
And then he came back. Yeah. For no, like, and there was, okay, so he got away with it.
Yeah.
Yo, Kallus got sent away, and then he came back. And it was
without,
like,
a repercussion.
Yeah. So, you know, I kind of feel that. I don't like that. And I hope that this isn't, like, a trend.
Yeah.
Because before Solo did it at Mania, I don't think I've ever seen that, where somebody gets ejected and then they just come on back without any repercussions.
Obviously, right? Coming back.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen that. And then this again. So that would be the nit to pick, right? If we're talking about one versus two,
I'd pick it wouldn't be. It's not a big margin.
Yeah, I would say one. That too. I like two a lot because what I said, because of the shenanigans, there was a little bit of that element that, hey, this isn't just a Japanese-style match.
And this wasn't a Japanese match in general, because that crowd was hot for that. It felt like whatever energy they had, they were saving some of it to let out then.
Yeah. I definitely think it was.
And they were in on it. This actually, for the biggest positive I'll give it, this felt like Walter and Dragunov.
Okay.
The first match, Gunther beat the ever-loving fuck out of that kid.
Yeah.
And we sympathized with him and watching him bruise throughout the whole thing. And then the second match was Dragunov knowing what to look for because he got his ass beat like a goddamn African drum. Yeah. And he wound up going the next level to stop him. I feel like this is where Ospreay shined. Where in the first match, Omega just reminded him who's King Bitch in this ring. Mm-hmm. And Ospreay knew that he needed to bring out something dangerous out of him, and he was pulling out some shells like, whoa, I haven't seen this out of Ospreay. You know, at first, I was a little disappointed, even with the first match of Wrestle Kingdom, that Ospreay leaned back into his old cruiserweight flippy-dippy stuff as opposed to the, like, knuckle and grounding and pounding and just slow and more methodical. There was a little bit more of that in this match that I like.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you had to really make me choose between one or two, I would almost begrudgingly say one.
Yeah.
Almost because of the Kallus stuff. And not like the Kallus stuff at the beginning, more of the Kallus stuff towards the end where he came back, right? If it wasn't for that, I think I would try to make arguments saying that this one was better and it needs to replace our match of the year candidate.
It doesn't replace it because Wrestle Kingdom's the New Japan pick. This is technically an AEW show.
Even though it's co-promoted,
it technically is still an AEW match. So we could technically have both of them.
You're right. I don't know why. Oh, man.
But would you really want both matches?
No. What's on AEW's Match of the Year right now?
Nothing. we'll let that marinate.
If it's nothing.
We'll let that marinate.
If it's nothing.
Give me another highlight from Forbidden Door.
You just blew my mind, man. I don't know if I like Daniel Bryan breaking his arm in the middle of the match and still continuing with the match. I didn't know that his arm was broken until like, what was it, the next morning when
Bree showed the picture.
Yeah, I was like, oh shit. Like, we all knew like, oh, his arm was hurt, but I thought he was selling it really well.
So well to the point fucking Kevin Kelly hit a grand slam on commentary towards the end. He said, at this point, his right arm is a passenger in this match.
Yes.
Holy shit. That's the stuff that, and this isn't going to, I'm not trying to dog the commentary on Dynamite, but that's the kind of stuff that we're getting on Collision where Kevin Kelly is actually focusing on the match.
Yeah.
And coming up with stuff like that where I'm just like, wow, we need that insight. You know, instead of just like rambling on or being loud and everything. A quick sidebar, because I was thinking about this for the last couple of days. Other than Gorilla Monsoon, has there ever been an ex-pro wrestler that has been good at play-by-play?
Oh, because
we assume all the pro wrestlers that are now commentary are color.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was the dichotomy that I feel was missing in Forbidden Door, where Kevin Kelly being the play-by-play guy for New Japan and putting over all the history and all the prestige of New Japan, I would have preferred him be the lead and have Excalibur chime in on the play-by-play stuff instead of him trying to lead or out-lead maybe Kevin Kelly. There was a lot of stuff in that commentary where I'm like, man, if they just switched the roles a little bit, this would have been a whole lot better.
Mm. To answer your question, no. I don't think there's been anybody else that's been a commentator that was a wrestler that is good or competent at play-by-play. I think usually wrestlers always wind up being good at color.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe if I had a bigger body of work, I could argue Punk. Because Punk tries to do play-by-play.
Yeah, but that's not a consistent basis.
But he's a lot of color as well.
Yeah.
But he tries to sneak in the insight. I remember Taz tried to do that a while ago. And then they did it to where there were like backstage vignettes where they're like, stopped in slow mode. And Taz will point
out.
I
saw that,
This elbow here did this and that. Yeah. And he had to pop the hips. And that, like, okay, cool. Like, yeah, he tried to do that and be the play-by-play expert. But really, whenever he's like off the cuff on commentary, he's all color, man. Yeah. He's so color. Yeah,
50 Shades of Orange.
Yeah. All right. Well, what else from Forbidden
Door? Danielson and fucking Okada, man.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Danielson and Okada. Okay, we just brought up the match. It kind of went on a tangent here. But the match itself, I think, was good. I don't think it was the best match of the night. Especially now that I'm looking at it with the benefit of hindsight of knowing that his arm was broken. I kind of feel like
it could have been more.
Oh, man. I don't know. It could have been worse. It could have been a compound fracture. Like, oh, man.
Do you know what would have helped? And it's weird that I say this because it could have done a lot more harm than good. When wrestlers get hurt legit and they keep working, the wrestlers, their opponents completely avoid that body part for the wrestler's safety.
Yeah.
But overall, the story that they tell, it doesn't make sense. I would have wanted Okada to damage that arm a little more. Even that comment that Kevin Kelly did towards the end would have had a lot more meat on that bone had Okada noticed, oh, whether it's fake or real, his arm's hurt. Let me go after it.
Yeah.
You know, and that because you can tell halfway through the match where he's trying to put holds in the lapel lock and the crossface and the pull's not all there and the connection of the hands isn't all there. And they're telling commentary, but there isn't anything that Okada did in that match, or they didn't emphasize, oh shit, Okada elbow dropped Daniel Bryan on his arm instead of his chest, and look what he did. Like, they didn't emphasize or dig deeper to that to make that storytelling cohesive, I guess.
Yeah. And so maybe there was a little bit of that where, like, it kind of sucks, because when in wrestling you get hurt, of course, obviously, the thing you want to do and the thing that you hope that your person you're wrestling with wants to do is protect that body part, right?
Well, actually, the first thing you want them to do is to stop the fucking match entirely, but that's your main event that you've built up for 6 weeks.
Yeah, and that's the problem, right? When something like this happens, it's like,
there's not that many options, audibly.
I don't want to see if somebody's injured. I don't want to see them continue wrestle. But I am a seasoned wrestling fan. I would much rather look at long-term than short-term. Short-term casual fans will be like, oh man, this sucks. I had to end the match because he got injured. Oh, that's bullshit. I want my refund. Whereas I would be like, okay, good. I'm glad they did the right call. Cool. I want to see 5 more years of Daniel Bryan in the ring, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to see him fucking die in the middle of the ring. So,
fuck. This is the second time the main event match ended because Okada's opponent got hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, man, I mean, like, I get it, and I think, like, you would get it, and some other fans that are like us would get it, but I don't think all the filthy casuals would get it. And, like, there's still this, like, machismo-ness about wrestling where it's, like, almost a badge of honor where it's, like, you get injured. Oh, well, I'm going to continue the match, and I'm going to be tough, and that makes me a better wrestler and a tougher guy because look at this. I wrestled with a broken freaking neck. I wrestled with a broken freaking arm. You know, and you know, fucking Cody Rhodes. Oh, he had his pec all falling off of the bone, right? Yeah. But, oh man, he put on such a banger. I was like, bro, I don't want these matches to continue, man. I that paradigm of, oh wow, you're really tough for gritting it out and going through it. No, you're not tough. You're fucking stupid,
yeah.
Right? Because you could hurt yourself more for long term. So,
and I'd argue that casual fans of wrestling, but fans of sport might not take it to heart that badly because in real sport that shit happens.
Yeah,
Anderson Silva lost a match because he kicked the dude so hard he broke his own leg.
Yeah.
That shit fucking happens. Like, there's MMA fights that'll go 25 rounds in a championship match. And then there's an MMA fight that'll end, like, last night ended in, like, fucking 30 seconds. That shit happens. So if some dude got fucked up legit and the match has to end, well, guess what? Put some Robitussin on it and we'll redo it again and all in.
You know, if it was standard practice where if somebody had an injury that was serious enough and they stopped the match, the L's and W's go out the window.
Yeah.
It's like stoppage due to injury. Yep. They don't say so and so wins, so and so loses, title change hands. No, it's like, hey,
dunzo.
Stoppage due to injury, dunzo, match is over.
Right? And for a heel, that'd be great promo for the next 4 months. Like, you're not mad enough for me. I broke you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you can actually build off of a stoppage like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something that I would like to see wrestling go towards in maybe the next decade or two, you know, where they change that mindset of wrestle hurt, try to hide it because you're tough.
Yeah.
You know? All right.
That fighting spirit of New Japan, I think it's starting to wear a little bit for me.
Okay.
I think the biggest flaw that I got out of Sunday is that right now, New Japan is in a situation almost like WWE in the early 90s.
Okay.
Where they need to push some of the young guys because you watch Tanahashi walking around like an action figure.
Oh, yeah.
You see Naito struggling for a little bit. Mm-hmm. The first Forbidden Door had two corners of turnbuckles and two corners of New Japan padding. This one had all turnbuckles. And you could tell the Japanese wrestlers were lost up there on the turnbuckle. Tanahashi took like almost 30 seconds to find his footing for one of his high fly flows on MJF. Yeah. I'm like, oh man, I don't want to see these Japanese wrestlers get hurt because they looked like they were fish out of water.
Mm-hmm.
in a lot of those matches. And I see what they're trying to do. They got Sonata as their world champ right now. And Ospreay is freaking killing it. I think right now Ospreay's in his prime. New Japan needs to make sure that he sticks around for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
But after that, what's next?
Yeah.
You know, who are the guys in New Japan right now that you think are young enough that you want to see at least for the next 5 years?
Shingo.
Thank you. That's
one. Shingo, Ospreay,
mm-hmm.
Zack Sabre.
Mm-hmm. Give me two more.
Fuck. Man, I don't
Never know. Saw him wrestle.
I don't know the roster well enough, really. The guy whose name is Tanahashi, but not Tanahashi, it's like one...
Oh, Takahashi.
Hiromu.
Yeah.
Hiromu.
Dude's... He's back now, but he... about 2 years ago, he was out for a year with a neck injury.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of like... not in the 90s, late early 2000s, neck injury,
yeah.
Your days are numbered. Now it might be a little bit different.
Yeah.
But Takahashi is your fourth.
Yeah, Takahashi.
Okay.
You know what? Fuck it. Let's just say Sonata.
Okay, yeah. Is that enough?
No.
To you?
Maybe.
Is that enough for you to get 999 yen a month?
No. No. Not for me, but, you know.
Yeah.
I would feel more guilty about not giving my 999.
You know, yeah. That early 90s, we had Brett,
yeah.
Sean,
yeah.
Owen.
Yeah.
Who else? Hakushi was killing it.
Hakushi,
yeah, there's a lot of guys that are underrated that you wouldn't think on the top of your head, but there's the young guys that would have been that next crop of guys.
Yeah. Max Moon.
Razor had been established, but his tooth wasn't long enough for you to call him old.
Yeah.
Early 90s, Razor Ramon's gimmick, that was shit, that ladder match. Yeah, Razor would have been in that group. Undertaker was still young. You were in that transition in the 90s,
yeah.
And I think that's where New Japan needs to find itself now. Hell, I'd even say Kenta might be a little bit starting to go down on the bell curve, because we 18 years from freaking Ring of Honor. And,
I mean, he's in that, like, okay, now you're starting to get there and make me question whether or not I want to see you, like Tanahashi, Okada.
Okada, I think, as young as he is, he's been established for so long that he feels old, like Cena.
Yeah,
like, at some point,
stale.
You were tired of Cena.
He's not old, he's stale.
Yeah.
You know? Something that I think was kind of fresh that I liked.
Oh, yeah.
Bullet Club Gold, man. Dude, I fucking love this.
It's official. It's a four-pack.
Yeah, it's a four-pack. I fucking love it. The guns in the Bullet Club. How much sense does that make, man? Like, of course. Yeah. Dude, that's badass. And I like the shorter one's Austin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Austin's charisma. It's starting to come out a little bit more. He's the talker. He's the one that's really going to, like, say the stupid shit. Mm-hmm. And I like him. And put him together with Juice and Switch.
Yeah.
Bro, it's
And low
it's
key,
so good.
You've been a fan of Jay White.
Yeah.
We turned you into a fan of Jay White.
Yeah. I mean,
and now you get more exposure.
And I'm not a fan of... I wasn't really a fan of Juice Robinson, CJ Parker, whatever.
I knew you were going to bring up that name.
But,
CJ.
But...
He's
winning me over now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not as crazy goofy as
hard
I thought
ball
he was.
Might not be the right nickname. Something else.
You mean Rock Hard?
Rock Hard.
Rock Hard!
Or maybe that'll take some time to win me over.
Nah, it's winning me over. Because when I first heard it, I was like, oh, come on, bro. Don't Rock Hard.
I don't know
but
if
like,
it's...
It's starting to win me over,
I
man.
Don't know if it's the last, like, 3 or 4 months that they've been traveling together on the road, but there's a cohesiveness within the four that it feels like they've always been a team.
Mm.
That they've always been a group. And it comes off real well on camera. You really will.
Yeah.
I like them, but I'm supposed to hate them. And there'll be times sooner or later that we're gonna eat.
Yeah,
them. You,
me.
Speaking of people that came that showed out.
Yeah,
talk to them about El Fantasma.
Oh yeah, that was that was a pleasant surprise. I want to say I didn't know who the hell he was, but
ex Bullet Club. I didn't know he was out of the group. But
yeah,
Aaron
was like, oh yeah, that's El Fantasmo, he's real good. He's ELP. I was like, okay, who the fuck is this guy? And he was like, nah, you need to watch him. And I was like, okay. And I started watching. I was like, god damn, this guy is good.
Yeah.
You know what? That's one we could put on our five there. El Fantasmo.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you could consider him a New Japan guy and not like a Mexico guy.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he's wrestling in Japan, but yeah, he was really good, man. He was a very fresh, surprising young face, or not face, to see. Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else from Forbidden Door that got your attention or that really failed that you want to yell about?
I think we covered the majority of it, but you know my memory. I got goldfish brain, so unless you come up with
something. It's been weeks. I've been drinking. I've been smoking. Yeah,
okay.
I wrote down as much as I could. We'll get to Match of the Week picks or suggestions later on, because we went from one big show to another. Money in the Bank in London.
Yeah.
Before we even get started on the pay-per-view, I just got one question to ask you.
Oh, shit.
Whose game is it?
Triple H? What the fuck? Huh?
Tell them whose game it is.
I don't know.
L. A
oh,
night.
It's his game?
Yeah, it's his game.
And how you play it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Dude's fucking over.
He is over. Fuck. He's over. I don't know about this game nonsense you're talking about.
Yeah, but you don't watch the promos?
Yeah, I thought I did. Did I miss that?
Yes, he's been doing it since he's been in NXT.
Okay, well, somehow I missed that.
I
don't mind.
I'm not disappointed at all that he lost money, that he didn't win the Money in the Bank. I think this, groundswell fervor, like, organic. I don't want to say organic, even though fans that have been following around, they've been liking him forever.
Yeah.
I've got $20 that says he's winning the Rumble next year.
Damn! Ding!
All he needs...
Where's Dingy?
Dude, at this point, the only thing LA Knight needs is to have his neck broke at SummerSlam. That's it. And he's like, done. He is that fucking over right now.
He's really over, and I'm glad that he's really over, because I like him. I liked Eli Drake, and I like LA Knight. Even when he was Max Dupree, I was kind of hoping that, all right, well, this is a shit gimmick. Maybe he'll make something out of this. You know, hopefully, you know, the cards are stacked against him. But, you know, I've always been like, okay, I'm waiting to exhale with this dude, right? Like, I'm waiting for
that. You're going to fart before you actually get that breath.
And I think people are coming around to him enough where it might be forcing the hand of WWE to be like, okay, yeah, let's actually put our full weight behind this guy.
Since when? Daniel Bryan at 30?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Because it's quite the groundswell, grassroots kind of thing, where people are supporting him, not because WWE's making you support him, kind of. At least that's how it feels, anyway. Unless the booking is really clever and we're just all falling for it. But
top five in merch sales, and his merch only dropped on the last week of June. Week of June, and he became in the top five.
Yeah.
Under Roman, Cody, Steve Austin, and over the NWO. That's your top five for June.
Yeah.
LA Knight.
Yeah. That's pretty cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
I
think the best thing about LA Knight is his mic skills. I mean, no respect to New Japan, but wrestling in the United States, you got to sell yourself. Can you name me at least five people that are good on the mic? Because
in the States?
In the States, in WWE.
Oh, WWE? Okay.
Five people that you're like, oh, I'm going to sit down and watch this guy's promo.
Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
Roman.
Mm-hmm. Now.
Now. Yeah.
Took him a while.
Cody. Fuck, Cody's a great promo.
Yeah.
80s.
Yeah. It's like his dad's in the ring doing those promos.
LA. LA Knight. And who would be in a fifth one?
The fact you're making faces like you just drank bitter beer.
Oh, kind of
making the point for me.
Yeah, I'm not sure, man. I'm sure. I feel like I'm missing somebody super... super obvious and super important, but it's not coming to me.
But that's the point. If you sell yourself on the mic, that's how high on the card you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know, we love Nakamura from New Japan. We love Nakamura in fucking NXT. Love Nakamura and his runs in WWE. What is he doing right now?
Yeah.
Because can't talk. Money in the Bank.
Seth. That's another
concept. He's got his moments. He's got his moments. Half of his promos is, half his promos.
No, and the other half is,
Biggest thumbs down for Money in the Bank, if you have one.
I want to say that there was a match that was like a throwaway match and it was such a throwaway that I don't even remember.
Shit. Well, Seth and Finn.
I mean, that was alright.
Bloodline Civil War.
That was great.
Women's tag match.
Maybe that's what it was.
You know what? I'm on both sides of this.
Okay.
I've been wanting this rivalry for a while.
Okay.
This is probably the best thing Ronda's been in, the tag team in general with Shayna. And then Shayna coming out of nowhere and choking her out. But
it's not that match because of that. Because I remember thinking, "Holy shit, what?"
The other side of me is thinking, "All right, Ronda. Apparently, Ronda's giving WWE a hard deadline before she goes back to UFC. since Amanda Nunez retired, the person that's been killing all these girls left and right in UFC. They want a star again, another star to supplement her, and Ronda's taking the bait to go back to UFC.
Okay.
You could have easily just lost the tag titles out of, like, miscommunication, and then that would have been it. Have Ronda go to UFC, beat some girls, or get her ass beat by girls, and then when she comes back, there's, again, more meat on that bone to actually make the rivalry between Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey mean something.
Right.
And not that it's a waste, but damn, Shayna's promo on Raw the night after would have had a lot more weight if there was more history in between of Ronda leaving. For Shayna to be like, I've been here, I've been busting my ass, I've been working indies. You can't even spell indie because ever since Holly Holm kicked you in the head. You know, or ever since Amanda Nunez knocked you out in 45 seconds. Like, you could really have more to choose from if you would have given that time for Ronda to actually leave and either fail or succeed and come back to WWE, because Brock Lesnar did the same thing in his last run. He beat Mark Hunt while he was a contracted WWE wrestler, and before the drug test failure, he was actually going to be number one contender after that fight. So you could still have Ronda work both territories and build that instead of doing like random turn out of nowhere, because there was a dissension. I asked in the group, has there been any signs the last couple of weeks of Shayna and Ronda?
No, there wasn't.
Nothing.
Yeah, so, it was out of the blue.
Oh, out of the blue, and then, oh, guess what? We're going to do it in 4 weeks at SummerSlam, and then that's it. As opposed to, damn, you could have given this 6 months, have Ronda had a fight in the UFC, win or lose. Hell, if Ronda would have won a belt between now and Mania, and you could have Ronda, UFC champion, against Shayna Baszler, WWE's people's champion, with the actual drama that they've had. Like, it's because of you that our four horsemen went down to two. It's because of you that you keep going back and forth. It's because of you that XYZ, and you could have really made something out of that. And I feel like they kind of... I think that's my biggest thumbs down, is that the timing.
Okay, I think I'm coming from a different perspective on this one. Now that I'm thinking about it and you reminded me, because that was the thing that was like the biggest surprise of the night for me. Like, what the hell? What? I was surprised. And while you were able to provide all that context of like, oh, she's going to leave because of Amanda Nutbuster, whatever her name is going away. Nueces? Yeah. Nueces. Yeah, Nueces.
Sorry, sure.
Pecan lady. She's leaving. Like, I didn't know any of that shit. Right? Okay, cool. You telling that to me right now is my first time hearing about it. My thought when it happened was, oh, shit. WWE surprised me on something. Holy fuck. Great. Good job. I've said it for the longest time on this show. It's very well documented that I think a big element that's missing in wrestling in modern times is the element of surprise. You're never surprised anymore. I was surprised when Shayna turned on Ronda. I was surprised. And I thought it was a nice little surprise. Mm-hmm. On Monday, the promo happened. I was like, oh, shit, yeah. She has a couple of good points. One of the points I didn't think was that good of a point, which was she said that you haven't been setting up chairs in front of 30 people to wrestle in front of 30 people. And I was like, girl, when have you ever wrestled in front of 30 people? Like, you know, she did. No, she didn't.
Shayna?
Yeah.
Shayna's been through the indies. She
jumped into NXT, right? Because I remember when we met her at ROH.
NXT.
She wasn't wrestling there. She was just looking and like kind of a hang around. But she never got into... her and the rest of the four horsewomen, they never started at the bottom rung of indies. They got into NXT.
We might not know this, but when we met them at for that weekend that Ring of Honor was in San Antonio, they could have been setting up chairs. They could have been...
But there was for 30 fucking people. It was a big Ring of Honor show. There was like, what, 500 to maybe 1,000
people?
Medium
Ring of Honor show. 1,000 people is not a lot.
But it's not 30.
But it's not 30.
Yeah. I've performed in front of 30 people.
Yeah, I've read poetry in front of 30 people.
Yeah, okay. And that's a lot for you.
Just like counting up to 30 is a lot for you.
I don't know. That's the one part she lost me just a little bit. But ask me, what was my first thought after that happened?
What's your first thought after that happened?
Man, I bet somewhere Jessamine and Marina are sitting back saying, why couldn't you motherfuckers do this while we were still there?
Yeah.
You know? Like, oh, that's the part of the timing that I don't like about it. I don't care about the nueces and going back and all that shit. I don't care about that. But, man, if this all went down when those other two were still there and they actually gave the other two a shot, like, I mean, I kind of get it why they didn't get a shot. But this was, like, 5 years ago and this was, like, NXT. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, this would be a fucking fire-ass angle. You know, but it's like, ah, oh, it's just Shayna and Ronda. Okay. Now, Shayna could probably turn it around for me if she brought up Marina and Jessamine mm-hmm. in this. Like, they're not even here because of you. Oh, shit. That'd be great. You know, so I'm not as down on this as maybe you are, because I'm still riding the high of the surprise. And
the promo's coming. There used to be four, and now there's two. And when you're gone, I'm the only one left.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. That'd be kind of cool. And if it could give Shayna something to do other than just being RBF,
yeah,
generic fucking wrestler, and that's it, you know? Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah, let's do something with her.
And it's a very small sample size, but I've seen some videos of Shayna off of WWE television.
Portia says in the live chat, unreleased or untelevised NXT shows are dainty.
Yeah.
30 people dainty? 30?
Florida. If you're in those arteries, it might not be a lot. I mean, bringing in Nakamura and Joe and Kevin Owens.
If you count the crocodiles, there's definitely more than 30 people there in Florida. Wait, is it crocodiles or alligators in Florida?
Alligators?
Yeah. Crocodiles are on the other side of the world, right? Okay. Yeah. Whatever.
Did the right woman win Money in the Bank?
Yes.
What'd you think overall?
About the women's Money in the Bank match? I thought this was probably one of the better women's Money in the Bank matches we've had. I love the clever ending.
Oh, yes.
That was so clever. I loved it. I loved it. Like, handcuffing in the thing, in the ladder, so they couldn't come up.
Bailey and Becky. Oh, the two of them.
Man, that was brilliant.
And they kept zooming in on their faces afterwards, and they're both like, just all dejected.
They're like, you son of a bitch. Puta.
What's puta in Japanese?
Yeah.
Man. Fuck, that was good.
I loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it.
I will say, I think the women's ladder matches in general, they're still not, God, I don't want to sound like shit when I say this. I don't think we're anywhere near a point where women's wrestling will be as stiff or as compelling or as, realistic looking as the men. I think we're a long ways away from that. There's a lot of parts in women's wrestling, and I noticed it a lot in this ladder match, where there's still a lot more choreography and a lot less.
Okay.
The ladder match, if I'm not mistaken, the men's NBA hoop is 10 feet. The women's is like 8.5.
Okay.
They've got to lower that briefcase. Those women, you got to lower the learning curve a little bit for the women. And it's not trying to be me being sexist or disrespectful to the women. It's almost for their safety. There's a lot of spots where I was like, ugh, ask Trish's nose about there should be a little bit of dialing back a little bit, at least for the women's side.
That's ironic that you say that way, because you said that there was too much choreography, not enough. But then you cite Trish getting bonked in the nose and getting a fucking broken nose.
It's fucking, man, the
girl. I mean, dude, Becky knocked the shit out of Trish. And that looked rough, dude.
One spot.
Yeah.
How long was that match?
But I mean, I'm still saying
it.
Yeah,
I know, you can't say it.
There's a. She fucking knocked the shit out of her, dude.
She brought back the mask.
She did. I loved that. But she, when I saw it, I was like, oh, fuck. And then you could already tell she was already starting to bruise on her nose. I was like, oh, look at that. Look. And, you know, we had to, like, rewind it a little bit or whatever. But, yeah. I mean, I kind of get it that sometimes there might be some things that don't look as impactful.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They still have come a long way. Mm-hmm. And is there still work to be done? Yeah, there's probably still work to be done. But I don't know. That's not my first thought coming out of this match. Hell, that's not even my second thought coming out of this match.
What was your first thought?
My first thought was the right person won.
Uh-huh.
My second thought was, God damn, Trish got knocked the fuck out. Another thought I had was, Bayley is going to be pissed. And Bayley's not pissed yet. I missed something. So, I don't know. That might be a missed opportunity with Bayley not being fucking PO'd.
My biggest nit to pick isn't so much the winners of the Money in the Bank, but they're essentially telling the same story.
How so?
You have the leader Bayley and the leader Finn that are failing at becoming champions, and then you've got their star screams to their Megatron. You've got EO and Priest, the up and comers, okay. Both of them with the briefcase, both with the opportunity to take the belt and try to be bigger than. Overcome from student to teacher, kind of. Telling the same story.
There's some symmetry going on.
Lots of symmetry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't realize that until right now that you pointed that out. And yeah, you're right. There is some symmetry going on there. Okay.
If anything, what I would like to see is Damage Control's on Raw, right? Or are they on SmackDown?
Raw.
Okay. I'd have EO cash in on SmackDown.
Okay.
Take it from Rhea, which I know is blasphemous to say right now.
Yeah.
And then maybe Bayley wins it on Raw. We get both of them face off a Survivor Series, champ versus champ.
Okay, that's fair.
Because you're obviously going to try to keep Priest, and then Rhea loses the belt because EO cashes in. And so there's turmoil within Judgment Day on whose fault it is that she lost the belt. And throughout all this turmoil, Priest tries to cash in and Balor's like, nope, you're not winning. The only person that could be champ in this group is me. And and we get Priest getting out on his own. I think Judgment Day as a group, I think, is done. You keep Dominic and Rhea together. Priest... maybe his face run will be better after mopping the floor with Finn. And then with Finn, I don't know what you do with Finn. Because you already rehabbed him. You already took him back to NXT and brought back the Prince stuff. Right. And then you brought him back to Raw as the Prince. And that just lasted, a month?
Yeah.
And then it went completely to something else.
Hell, on his Titantron, it still says Prince with the X over the E or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Let's not transition too quickly into the men's Money in the Bank. I still want to talk a little bit about the women's Money in the Bank. And there's an observation that I think does translate to both. And that's... And this is more pronounced in the women's Money in the Bank. I like the fact that the winner is somebody that was on the bubble. Not somebody that it was like already a main eventer. Obviously somebody that's in the main event mix who just... needed a way to get another title shot, right?
Who made herself credible after that match with Bianca Backlash.
Bayley would have been like, okay, cool, but Bayley's already a main eventer. Becky, and okay,
Bayley's
cool.
Bayley's already lost to Bianca like five times already.
And Becky's already a main eventer, right?
Becky's lost to Bianca already.
Io's not a main eventer. Not yet. Has she been flirting with breaking through? Yeah. And that's what the Money in the Bank is traditionally supposed to have been. To give it to those mid-card people that aren't quite there yet, that need a little... to get over the hump.
I'll give that to you for the women.
Yeah.
We'll get there in a minute.
That's where we are with EO.
Yeah.
And I will argue that we're at that same spot with Damian. You're wrong. Let me make my case.
Then I'll break you down.
Okay, cool. My case is... Damian hasn't been the main event. He's not a former champ. He hasn't had that many title shots. He hasn't come that close. But he's proven himself that he can be somebody that has a special spotlight because of all the Bad Bunny stuff, mm-hmm. right? He's been rubbing elbows with a former main eventer being Finn. And yeah, I said former main eventer. Mm-hmm.
Main eventer was Seth and was damn good. Twice, yeah. right? It was a triple threat with AJ, and then like 2 weeks later it was him.
And it was just him and just, yeah. So he's been kind of on the bubble there. Like he hasn't had like, oh, the main event of a pay-per-view has been him and he came out on top. Mm-hmm. Like that hasn't been the case yet, but I could see that. Oh, eventually we're going to get there with this guy. So I like the fact that they gave him the title, the Money in the Bank over LA, because I think while everybody wanted it to be LA Knight, Damian has been in that position longer than LA Knight has. And if you just give it to LA Knight, that's going to be too quick because you don't know how high that ascent is going to go that he's riding right now with this grassroots. Tell me why I'm wrong.
We didn't get to do a prediction show because of scheduling, but my prediction, my anticipation for the men's ladder match, Money in the Bank ladder match, was at a zero.
Oh!
And I'll zero. Tell you why. They've completely ruined it last year, they're not coming back from it because they're doubling down on it. Last year, Austin Theory had the briefcase and cashed it in on the U.S. title. And this year, they're doubling down, saying that the Money in the Bank winner can wrestle for any title in WWE.
Right.
If you have the opportunity to be number one, why are you settling?
Yeah.
So I'm worried that Priest is going to go back to like get the U.S. title that he had before. Or the IC title. Or if it would work, if it would benefit them, have him get the NXT title. But the fact that they're opening the door for all the mid-card titles, in essence, you're correct. The Money in the Bank briefcase is to elevate a mid-carder to main event status. But if you're going to elevate the mid-carder to what? The gatekeeper? Or the stuff underneath the cream of the crop of the main event? Then it's a waste of time. It's not worth him being the fucking Money in the Bank if he's going to cash it in on fucking Austin Theory.
Yeah.
Or if he's going to cash it in on Gunther.
Yeah.
Or if he's going to cash it in on...
Although, that'd be a badass fucking match. Priest and Gunther?
Yeah.
Fuck!
But what will that do to Priest? Will that elevate him or will that keep him at least where he's at?
It'll keep him where he's at.
Yeah, and is that the point of the Money in the Bank?
No.
Exactly. Destroyed!
That still remains to be seen, though. Yeah. You're just basing it off of last year.
But you understand
year.
That.
I get it. There is precedent now that they can use it for a lesser title. I get it. But that remains to be seen. It's only happened once. Most of the time, it goes on to the
realistically, I don't think someone cashing in the Money in the Bank on Roman, they're not going to pull that trigger. Do you see Damian Priest beating Seth Rollins and becoming the WWE Heavyweight Champion?
Actually, not today, but give it maybe 6 months, 9 months. You hold on to that fucker for a year, maybe. Especially if
Cody beats him.
Especially if by that time
Cody's champ for 15 minutes.
Yeah. Especially if by that time it's not even Seth that has that title anymore. Maybe it's not even Roman that has that title anymore. The bloodline's falling apart. Eventually, that story is going to be done with, I guess, Jay holding the title.
Beautiful transition.
Right?
It's begun.
If Jay's holding the title, fuck yeah, have Damian cash in on Jay. God damn! Roman has time to go take time off.
Yeah.
Jay got the rub, so he's now the tribal chief, but he's still babyface, and now he's chasing Damian for the title.
Sure he's the tribal chief? He said it himself.
I'm talking about months from now.
He said it himself in promos weeks ago. He doesn't want to be the tribal chief.
Mm-hmm.
And then last Friday on SmackDown, they teased when Solo picked up that lay before he handed it to Roman.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Oh, he didn't even hand it to Roman. He got jumped by Jimmy
before
he could even turn to hand it to him. And then Paul Heyman went and grabbed the lay.
At this point, 6 months from now, if Jey Uso is the champion and Roman's out doing Hollywood stuff, you as a WWE fan, do you think that's a downgrade, a upgrade, or the trajectory is still on course?
For the title or for Jey?
For the title.
For the title, it's a downgrade.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that you're going to get an upgrade you painted yourself into such a corner with Roman that unless you have another generational wrestler, and the problem is you don't know if you have a generational wrestler until you actually take a chance to put the title on him, yeah. Right?
Jay's the sober one out of the two, right? Yes, this isn't the guy that
gets... I believe so.
Yeah.
I believe so.
At this point in the story, they didn't give it to Sami Zayn in Edmonton. They didn't give it to McIntyre in UK. They didn't give it to Cody at fucking WrestleMania as a Royal Rumble winner. If they don't give it to Jay, who's the guy?
I don't know. No, nobody. No, I mean, fuck. I don't know, man. It's got to be months worth of storyline and build, and you got to catch Roman slipping. And it's only going to be... This is only going to happen until Roman goes up to Vince backstage and says, hey, man, I need some time off.
Yeah.
You know? And they might not do that until he breaks all these fucking records. He might not break San Martino's 8-year record.
Oh, fuck no.
But yeah. They said he was already past, what, Pedro Morales? Yeah. Right?
Yeah, this is not the 80s. There's... We have 12 paper. We had at one point we had 14 pay per views a year, and people's memory, short term memory, is like non-existent.
Yeah.
So you get. I think it's Roman holding the belt has gotten stale already. Like it, I can't see him holding it another 6 months or a year.
I don't think it's stale right now, but it's only invigorated because of the Bloodline storyline.
Yeah. Jay has to take it from him at SummerSlam, no? I know we'll be back here eventually for SummerSlam preview, but just since we're talking about it now, the whole match, the main event to the Civil War between the Bloodline, this has to end with Jay taking it, right? This all started with Jay and Roman when Roman went to Paul. Is that the story? Or
you know, I'm going to say something a little controversial.
Oh, give it to me, Daddy.
It should be Jimmy.
What? The guy that can't leave the country without an ankle bracelet?
He can leave the country.
Well, now, but that's...
Because he left the country.
Yeah, several times.
But I think it should be Jimmy. Jimmy was the one who saw through everything before Jay did. Yeah, Jay was the one that actually became main event Jey Uso, that actually had the match. But he only had the match because of Jimmy's injury. Jimmy was the one who first planted the seeds of dissent. Jimmy was the first one who left, who convinced Jay to leave. Jimmy was the one that was the pop, 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 pop with fucking Sammy. So Jimmy was the one that knew, you know what? This isn't sustainable. Sammy is right, but he needed to convince Jay. Yeah. Jay wasn't the leader. Jimmy was. It was all because of Jimmy. So I think Jimmy was...
Little Jimmy grew up.
Yeah. I think it should wind up being him. I think Jay tries to go and goes for it and doesn't get it. Why? Because he's too technical, man. He's too fucking stubborn. But Jimmy, he's the one that was flexible enough to fucking see through it. And it's like, you know what? I'm actually going to come up with a plan on actually how to do it and pull it off without being stubborn like you, too off the wall like Sammy, just being a little bitch like Solo. He's going to be the one that would be clever enough to take it off of him.
Or is it Solo? You remember the end of that main event, but a Civil War match where Roman's like crying and crying because they both kicked out of the spear, and Solo's just standing there like, I'm ready to keep kicking ass. Yeah, and he's looking at Roman like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Then Roman's like, oh shit, I guess I gotta get up and do this and this and keep going.
Yeah.
And then they're teasing that Solo not necessarily is joining the Usos, but leaving Roman, which there is a difference.
Okay.
And him just being Solo.
Yeah.
Out there, you know?
Yeah.
Solo versus Roman. We've never really got that yet. We've gotten each of the Usos against Roman, but we've never gotten Solo.
Man, but there's been so much more invested in the Usos than it has been in Solo. Solo would be a bigger surprise, and I don't know if I want to see that surprise.
But you like surprises, no?
That's true.
Swerve, bro.
It is a swerve. That's a swerve. I wouldn't see that coming.
Was your reaction as fervent as everyone in the arena when Jay pinned Roman 1-2-3, first time since 2019 that Roman got pinned?
I mean, I don't want to say that I was surprised, because this was ripe for the pickings for Roman to lose, because this wasn't for the title. Yeah. This was a tag team match against The Usos, multiple-time tag team champions, probably one of the greatest WWE tag teams of all time. So
that's the hook.
It makes sense.
That's the hook. Yeah.
So if you were to ever have Roman lose without actually losing the title, it's in this match.
Yeah, it made perfect sense. It actually makes me want to watch the next chapter, which would be James versus Roman.
So was my reaction as fervent? No, my reaction was, okay, good.
Let's go.
All right. Yeah. Good. You know? Like, I was like, yeah! I was like, okay, yeah, let's go.
Anything else for Money in the Bank that got your attention? Because I have one that is going to segue out to something else.
Give it to me.
WWE needs to send, like, a basket to Tony Khan. Because there's no way in hell that in 2023 WWE would have John Cena in the middle of the ring in London hyping up WrestleMania in London if it wasn't for AEW selling 80,000 tickets without one match being announced for it.
Okay. Okay.
Cena's in the ring hyping up the crowd. What? You didn't even know it was going to be there, so walk me through the whole thing. You emotionally as that segment unfolded.
Like, oh, Cena, cool. All right. Oh, he looks pretty good. Wow, he's really over. Well, hell yeah.
He's in gear. He's wrestling. In gear.
Okay, shit. I don't think he's going to wrestle. Is he? Nah. Man, he actually looks pretty good. God damn, he is over. Man, them people there in the UK are fucking loving it. Yeah. London's loving this. This is cool. He's probably just going to cut a promo. Oh, he is cutting a promo. Okay, cool. He's probably just going to butter him up, whatever. Thank you, London. Whatever. Wait, what did he say? Because I stopped paying attention. Wait, y'all. I stopped paying attention. Everybody, shut up. We need to rewind. I think he just said something about, like, is he talking shit about London? Wait, who's he talking about? Wait, what? And we rewound. He's like, yeah, them in the back, they probably don't believe, but we should have WrestleMania in London. I'm like, holy shit, we're going to have Mania in London?
Two nights. Talk about a 2 p.m. WrestleMania, Saturday and Sunday. That's tailgate.
And Porsche said it before I could think it, but she's like, we got to make sure we get our passports. And I was like, fair.
Yep.
Fair.
Yep. Yep. Mine's ready.
Because if, right, this is a big if, right? Like, international travel is a big deal for folks that are like us, that are the poors, right? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe me, maybe not you. Because you're going on trips all the time.
I might be on the cusp of the other end, but I remember my roots.
Yes.
I still fly Spirit.
Yes. So, the pools.
Yeah.
It's a big deal to do international travel, right? Yeah. So, I don't think that I could say, oh, I'm going to go to Mania in London. But if they're willing to go to London, if they were willing to go to Clash at the Castle. Oh, they're also going, you know, over, you know, to Saudi, of course, but we don't know why they're going to Saudi, right?
Regardless, they travel.
They're doing international travel now? Fuck, man. What if they go to Tokyo? You know?
Yeah.
What if they go to Mexico City?
If EO cashes in and wins the women's title, then the next day they announce, oh, we're going to do fucking Karrukin Hall.
Yeah. You know,
they'll sell it out.
It doesn't need to be Mania. It could be any other, like the Puerto Rico show, right? I know Puerto Rico's not international technically, but still, that's like.
It's a lot of work to get stuff over there to Puerto Rico, even though it's not that far.
Like, fuck, man. I might need to, as a wrestling fan.
Once.
Yeah, get a fucking passport, whether it's WWE or AEW, because if AEW is leading the way on this and they're going other places, shit, maybe I need to do this.
Or we're coming up on G1. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But travel's not that expensive going to early August to catch the finals of Wrestle Kingdom and maybe catch a sumo show while you're out there.
Yeah. Eat some ramen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once. Yeah. To get out of the country once to experience wrestling from other people's perspective.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Me sitting quietly with my mask on in Japan, you know? Or me with a pint in freaking London, you know?
Dude, that crowd in London, I gotta say, man, they I wish we had the same organization here in the States as that crowd does over there. Because
there's enough of them to come.
A fucking drop of a hat, man. They had a full audience, the full stadium, chanting the exact same thing. right? Just like that. Like, we got to get our chants going. And some people are chanting over there. They're chanting something different over here. And they're like,
and some of our American wrestling fans, they're kind of stupid.
They got the dumb. They got the dumb, you know? But
we've been around several shows. Mm-hmm. We've been around several. You still are going on shows.
As someone that's on the higher end of that, I still remember my roots. I still remember the dumb.
Yeah. And the smell. Woo, the smell. I still have a can of Axe, just in case. Just in case, you filthy animals.
Yep, filthy. Yeah. Filthy animals.
Oh, man. Yeah, WrestleMania, first week of April. We've got time. My prediction, I could probably get us to London at $700 a person. Maybe less. Shit. And that's just the flight. That's just the flight.
Yeah.
Airbnb is cheap. The trains are, but that's the biggest hurdle. The biggest hurdle for anything besides grabbing the ticket for the event that you really want to go to is just finding the affordable flight. And it can be done. And
I think flight it can be done cheaper. And accommodations, hotel and stuff.
Yeah, the accommodations, you'll find them. Yeah, but the most important...
I am a delicate sleeper, man.
$80 a night is not going to turn you away from a trip.
Okay.
$750 worth of flight will turn you away from a trip. The biggest hurdle to climb. Yeah. Once you get over that, dude, we could go to Chicago, $40 a night round trip, and Chicago's the cheapest international. If you try to go to Philly, Boston, Newark, New York, that's going to be expensive. Chicago is very cheap to go out overseas. Okay. The Amsterdam trip was $600. Total, mm-hmm. And 70 of that was the Spirit flight from here to Chicago.
Yeah, we've been saying for the better part of a half a decade that we've been going that we were going to go to Japan,
and still, and hey, but it's a lot closer for me now that I've actually gotten my foot out the door.
Yeah,
so now that I know what it's like, the motivation just got the tank got refueled.
Yeah,
you know, so
shit.
Yeah, don't let that get you down. We do have time because 40's already announced.
Yeah.
40 is going to be in Philly. So if 41's in London, you got a year and a half to start really crunching down.
Yeah.
Saving, rolling your coins, savings money, doing whatever you got to do. Pull out 401, kill somebody, rob a bank. Yeah. Whatever you got to do.
Kill somebody.
Hey, they loaded. Nah.
God damn.
You got 18 months. Make it happen.
All right.
I was the one that persuaded you with 3 weeks'
notice.
That's
true. To go to
Orlando for 24. Yeah.
That's when I was young and carefree, and I didn't have as many expenses. I was a poor, but I didn't have expenses. Now I'm not as poor, but I have expenses, so I'm still a poor. It's like I got a little bit of money, but it goes to the bills.
You mentioned Omega and Ospreay.
Yes.
Any other match of the week picks? Or any matches that you think are worthy of talking about?
I'm going to need you to help me with this one because I know that there definitely was a match or two that I want to say maybe it was on Dynamite or SmackDown or something, but I just can't remember. I don't think it was anything for Money in the Bank, but please
refresh. I have one for Money in the
refresh.
Bank. Gunther versus Riddle. It was easily the best match Riddle had. Gunther accentuated his positives. I'm sitting there with Travis, and Travis is like, all right, Gunther, take off the tape from his ankle and start beating on it. He couldn't even finish the sentence before Gunther started unwrapping the tape and started beating on him. And he didn't beat him with the powerbomb. He had been working that ankle most of the match. Either Riddle was really good at selling or Riddle's ankle's really fucked up. But he looked damn good in that match.
Yeah, yeah.
And he submitted to the heel hook, ankle
submission deal. That's right.
It was really good. That's easily my favorite match of the day. There were very less flaws, if any, compared to as good as some of the matches were in Money in the Bank. They're flaws that you could nitpick to it.
Yeah.
This was probably the purest thing out of everything that was on that show. Mm. This is probably going to go over your head, but I figured I would watch this.
Okay.
I watched this last night because we murmured a little bit about it in our chat. Willow Nightingale against Julia.
Okay.
From New Japan. Yeah.
Julia.
So that is the opposite of my complaint earlier where I said there's a lot more choreography and a lot less like actual puro wrestle.
Yeah.
Man, I am a fan of Julia now. That okay. match with Willow was fucking good. They were trading some stiff-ass shots. They were chopping each other. I thought Willow grew a third breast out of all that fucking chopping that Julie was in there with. There was some real good stuff in there. And a part of me actually liked it more because I was surprised how over Willow was getting in front of that Japanese audience. Okay. She got a little bit of a pop. She had some people clapping for her. Some people were into it. There were some a couple of Willow Nightingale signs out there. But as the match progressed, they're dueling chants for both the women. And to the point where I'm like, damn, Willow knocked out Mercedes. Willow knocked out all these other girls. She might actually knock out this girl that everyone online has been hyping over for at least the last 6 months. And this was my first exposure to her. And watching Julia beat her, I was like, this was fucking good. I want more of that. That was an example of, I need to watch more New Japan.
Is Julia the champ?
So Julia was before the match, Stardom's women's champion, because she had that star belt.
Okay.
And now she's the New Japan strong champion. Which is the one Willow had. Which was supposed to be Mercedes. And it didn't take me long to get over, man, what if this was Mercedes versus Julia? But we could save that for later.
Yeah.
But the fact that, for all intents and purposes, Julia now has the U.S. equivalent, which is what that New Japan strong belt is, maybe we'll start seeing her more here in the States.
Okay.
You know, so that'll actually help move the needle a little bit. The other match that I liked a little bit more for sentimental reasons. We talked earlier about how Kenta might be on the downhill that belt curve.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I saw him as good a shape as he was in when he wrestled Eddie Kingston.
Defending
the men's New Japan Strong Championship.
This guy, Eddie Kingston. Goddamn.
I've said it before. I'll keep saying it until I'm hoarse. There's an authenticity of him in the ring, let alone him on his promos, that you can't help but want to root for. You might necessarily not like him, but you want to at least be like, man, if anybody deserves a break, that fat fuck right there.
You know? No! I'm the fat fuck that deserves a break. Fuck Eddie Kingston. No,
you deserve money. Eddie deserves a break. Eddie beat Kenta for the belt.
Okay.
It's his first championship.
Yeah.
And you see him crying at ringside around the fans. And he just, and that's more authenticity. It's like, oh, this guy is like legit taking this seriously, that he's crying over, again, not disrespectful, but for all intents and purposes, a mid-card belt for a brand that's secondary in the U.S. They're primarily in Japan.
Right.
But he got to wrestle there in front of the Japanese audience for the first time the night before in a tag match. And then he had this match the next night and actually won one of their belts.
Okay.
He's a pig of shit right now. Like I was happy for him. That was a good match.
Yeah.
Stiff as fuck. Kenta, I started, it's weird that we're having this transition because I saw flashbacks of Kenta versus Davey Richards at that Ring of Honor show that happened WrestleMania weekend here.
Okay, yeah.
And with that being said, my last pick, CM Punk and Samoa Joe from last night in Collision.
Oh, dude, I haven't watched that yet. I need to watch it.
So
I need to watch it.
If you have expectations of the three matches of Joe versus Punk, the third match going an hour limit draw, you're going to be severely disappointed. That's 18 years ago, bro.
Okay.
18.
Okay.
The match last night looked like a match that two guys that had a rivalry 18 years ago. There was parts where they were tired, they couldn't stand up straight, and they're hobbling and all that stuff. They're beating the fuck out of each other. The Walter treatment, Joe's main thing was, I'm going to chop the fuck out you, motherfucker. And Punk's main thing was, I'm getting as far away from you as I can. So whenever Joe would swing, Punk ducked him and give him a little flim-flam or whatever. Joe tried to get that chop again. Punk ducked him and get a little razzmatazz. Joe tried that chop again and then like finally hit that chop and the whole match just went, well, Joe got him.
Damn.
Joe was beating the shit out of Punk. He'd come back a couple times. They'd always get stopped. And then at the very end, Punk got him.
Really?
Roll up.
Really?
Yeah. And the best part, yeah, because you haven't seen it.
So I haven't seen it. No.
So watch the promo in the beginning. They don't even play Punk's music. They're still doing the intro bit with Elton John, and Punk comes out, and he cuts this badass promo about, this isn't about me. This isn't about Samoa Joe. This is about fucking Owen Hart.
Okay.
And this is the name that you need to be chanting tonight, because this is all for him. So when the match is over, Joe and Punk are looking at each other, and the fans are chanting for fucking Owen Hart. That was, dude, that got me. That was a gut punch in the feels. It was fucking good. And Joe actually, they're staring at each other, and then fucking Joe's like, fuck it, man. We've had a good run. Shook out his hand.
Oh, nice.
Punk shook his hand. They shook hands.
Yeah, for that split second.
That wasn't for us. That was for them.
Yeah.
And as a fan, growing up watching Ring of Honor and all the matches Punk has had and watching both of them succeed, Joe and fucking Impact, CM Punk in WWE, I was like, man, that's a nice bow on top of that, you know? And then Joe pulls him and puts him back in the fucking
closet. Hell yeah!
You've never been better than me! Oh, man, give me more. Give me fucking more. So you're saying that fucking it's easy to put Omega Ospreay on there for AEW because it's an AEW pay-per-view. Watch that.
Okay.
And then we'll come, let that marinate for a little bit. We'll come back. Okay. And we've got people that are watching and probably people that will be listening at home. If we still put Omega Ospreay, then that'll be the first time ever we've got the same people twice from two different promotions on our Match of the Year list.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. And as much as I like Willow and Julia as my first outing, it's hard to like, oh my God, my first time seeing Julia, that's the best match I've ever seen her. It's going to be hard to top Omega Ospreay from fucking...
Well, is it the best match you ever seen Willow in?
I'd say so.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah. I got G1 Climax coming up.
Okay.
It's a shame Hector's not here. I actually took notes. Got papers here. This year, it's 20-minute time limit, not 30.
Okay.
4 blocks. I'm going to run down some of these names. Let me know if there's anyone you
trying to speed it up like baseball.
Yeah. A Block, Sonata.
Uh-huh.
Chase Owens.
Okay. Ooh. Okay. Chase Owens.
Hikuleo.
Okay.
Ren Narita.
Okay.
Shota Umino.
Uh-huh.
Yoda Tsuji.
Ooh.
Exactly. That's new to me. Gabe Kidd. Duh. And Kaito Kiyomiya.
Ooh.
This is the guy from Noah. When they did the partnership, when they did that third night of Wrestle Kingdom, and it was a tag match with Kiyomiya and his team against Okada's team,
okay.
And Kiyomiya just straight up legit kicked Okada in the face. So Okada got up and started beating the ever-loving fuck out of him and threw him out the ring and continued beating the ever-loving fuck out of him. Yeah. That's Kiyomiya. B-Block. Okada.
Of course.
Yoshihashi. Taichi. Kenta. Great O'Conn, Ospreay, Tongaloa, El Phantasmo. Block C, David Finley, Ishii, Evil, Tamatanga, Shingo, Aaron Hanare. That's the guy. That's the other guy from fucking United Empire.
Okay.
Japanese guy.
Cakes guy?
I think so. Okay. Japanese guy took an English name, so all the Japanese hate him because he took the English. Aaron? What the? Have you ever seen a Japanese Aaron?
No.
No. Exactly. Mikey Nichols.
Okay.
He's the guy from the Mighty Don't Kneel from TM69.
Gotcha.
6-1 that left because he was injured or his wife had
killed
one. And Eddie Kingston. He's in Block C. Block D, Tanahashi, Naito, Goto, Zack Sabre Jr., Toriyanu, Jeff Cobb, Alex Coughlin, and Shane Haste. Shane Haste is the other guy from Mighty Don't Kneel, which they are a group. Damn. In New Japan.
Sounds like D-Block is the one that's stacked the most.
So now the new version of the Mighty Don't Kneel is Zack Sabre is the leader. And then the team. And there might be somebody else with them. Okay. I'm going to run by this real quick. Some matches to look forward to because the tournament starts on the 15th.
Okay.
Starts next week.
Next week.
First night, Tongaloa against Kenta.
Ooh.
Tai Chi versus Ospreay.
Okay.
Next night on the 16th, Eddie Kingston versus Shingo.
Yeah.
You don't want to see Kingston get beat up by Shingo?
Maybe.
Tanahashi against Zack Sabre Jr.
Okay.
Next night, Sonata versus Shooter Umino.
Uh-huh.
Okada versus El Phantasmo. That's going to be a dark horse to look out for.
Hopefully, that could be a good, nice just way for Phantasmo. Because, I mean, it's Okada, right?
Yeah. Okada is good at making people look good.
Right.
For all intents and purposes. Still as he might be. He still makes other people look good.
And I mean, he's still like the name in New Japan. So
he's the threshold.
Yeah.
Next night, Ishii against Tama Tonga.
Okay.
Tanahashi against Shane Haste.
Okay.
Next night,
I feel like that match is going to be sloppy. Just because of Tanahashi.
Ugly good or ugly?
Ugly.
Just ugly.
Just ugly.
Bowling shoe ugly. Night 5. Shooter Umino against Kiyomiya. Will Ospreay against Kenta.
Oh, all right. yeah.
Next night. See if you've heard this one before. Ishii against Shingo.
Oh, of course.
Tanahashi against Jeff Cobb.
All right. That's going to be... That might be good ugly.
If your style is kick, the next night, Tai Chi against Kenta.
All right.
Tangaloa against Phantasmo. And Sonata versus Kiyomiya.
Okay.
Sonata, New Japan World Champ currently against probably one of the highest guys besides Kino that Noah has to offer, Kiyomiya. Okay. Next night, Ishii against Eddie Kingston 3. I've raved about the first two. You might have watched one of them or not.
Yeah, I think so.
Either of them. Jeff Cobb against Zack Sabre Jr.
Okay.
Tama Tonga against David Finley, leader of the Bullet Club.
Yeah, yeah.
Now the leader of the Bullet Club. Tama Tonga, for one of the originals of the Bullet Club against Finley.
Can we pause there for a second? I kind of want to know the relationship of Bullet Club versus Bullet Club Gold. Like, are they doing this in AEW without Bullet Club really knowing, or is it like a begrudgingly thing? Are they going to eventually feud,
so,
like NWO Black and NWO Red, and like?
So here's the only thing I know,
okay,
of consistency, is that Jay White lost a Loser Leaves New Japan match,
right?
Which, for people that weren't aware, they might not have noticed, Jay White was not on that Forbidden Door card.
Okay.
Because it's still co-promoted with New Japan, so he's living up to the stipulation of him not leaving.
Right.
So the fact that he can't go to New Japan, he's making his own Bullet Club Gold.
Right.
So I'm not sure if it's a feuding thing, or it's just like out of respect that the Bullet Club's living on and dominating all the territories. Are they going to do something? I don't know yet. But okay. That's all I got so far.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, no, you're good.
Continue.
Phantasmo versus Kenta and Okada versus Ospreay.
Okay.
That's on the 27th.
Okada versus Ospreay.
Yeah.
Okay.
On the 30th, Zack Sabre against Shane Haste. Mm-hmm. That's the Mighty Don't Kneel against the Mighty Don't Kneel.
Okay.
Tama Tonga against Shingo. August the 1st, Okada versus Kenta.
All right.
Tai Chi versus Phantasmo.
Okay.
On the 2nd, Zack Sabre Jr. against Tetsuya Naito.
Nice.
Shingo versus David Finley.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's going to be good.
Yeah. Some random tag matches on the 5th, random tag matches on the 8th. On the 6th, though, Will Ospreay against Phantasmo.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's going to be some stuff here that I'm going to bookmark for you, if not you and Arnold specifically, or Scott, that we all watch. And then the last night of the tournament, of the regular tournament proper, August 9th, Tanahashi against Naito.
Okay.
On the 10th, first place of A block against second place from C block. First place from D block against second place from A block. First place from C block against second place from B block. First place from B block against second place from B block. Then the next day is the final four, and then the 13th is the final two.
Okay.
So that's how we narrow it down. Out of this list, who do you like enough that you think will be in the final four? So you're picking your favorite from every block.
Fuck. Oh, my God.
And I know my writing's shit. I apologize for that.
Yeah. Sonata on A.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whoever beats Sonata in that tournament to get points is obviously going to get a title shot later on in the year before Wrestle Kingdom.
Ospreay on B.
You got Ospreay over Okada?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. You've got Ospreay over Phantasmo.
Yeah.
So Phantasmo doesn't necessarily have to win, but him being in the final four could be a boost enough to get him to the next level of guys. That's at least what I was
thinking. I feel you on that one, but the only reason why is because I'm trying to think of who has the most... Who's the hottest right now out of them? Yeah. I like Phantasmo. Phantasmo, I think, is on an uphill climb, but I mean, I don't think enough people know Phantasmo.
Yeah.
Then C block, not Kingston.
Damn, Shingo.
I was thinking either that or Tama. Or Finley.
I think this is the moment we'll, to bring the whole podcast
Shingo.
Around.
I'll go with Shingo.
To bring the whole podcast around, this is the moment where you want to at least highlight some young guys that are going to be the next 5 or 10 years of the business, as opposed to Tanahashi, Okada, Naito, stuff like that. That's why I was leaning a bit towards Phantasmo in Block B. Mm-hmm. And I was actually thinking Finley for Block C, just to actually make his leadership of the Bullet Club somewhat relevant, is to have him in the Final Four. Again, these guys, you're not the young ones, you're not necessarily having them win the whole thing, but just being in the Final Four would actually give some credibility to them in the Japanese fans' eyes that that the next 5 or 6 years are in good hands.
You know, and if you go according to that logic of not like the old guys, D has people that are established. Tanahashi, Naito, Zack Sabre Jr. But the one that I think that would be the biggest guy that is not necessarily been the hottest guy, Cobb.
Yeah.
Cobb.
I agree.
Cobb could win that.
Yeah. Cobb and Sonata would be a damn good match.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, it might be too much for them to chew as far as having, say, Sonata versus Jeb Cobb.
Mm-hmm.
Co-main event Wrestle Kingdom, yeah. Because you could easily, and this might piss some of the Japanese fans off, you could easily end Wrestle Kingdom with Okada Danielson 2. So you can be a little flexible with your world title match and even your intercontinental title match, because your main event could be, it's January, bro. Main event of Wrestle Kingdom is January 4th.
How much time does Danielson need for the arm?
8 weeks at most.
8 weeks. Okay, so he'll be ready by that time.
Definitely. And if they take care of him, don't run him through between now. Because imagine if he wouldn't have gotten hurt a couple weekends ago, he would have been in Blood and Guts. That's coming up.
Ah, fuck. I forgot about Blood and Guts. God damn. All right.
So pick your mystery opponent for Team Blackpool and for Team Elite. I kind of feel like one's obvious.
Who's on the teams currently?
Elite, Omega, Nick and Matt, Hangman.
So we need to add somebody to them.
I would think that one is obvious. So obvious, and I don't even won't be mad at all if it's who I think it is. And you know who I'm thinking.
I don't know who you're thinking.
Kota Ibushi.
Oh, Golden Lovers. Golden Lovers. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Kota Ibushi. Let's see.
Ooh, I even hit it. Oh, dude, you got like a party here.
What? How do we get two in here? All right. Anyways, all right. On the other side, it's Wheeler, Claudio, Moxley. Who else?
If it's not Danielson, it's definitely going to be Shooter again.
Shooter.
So.
And Konosuke Takeshita.
Oh, yeah. Takeshita's the fourth guy. Oh, so it's not Shooter. Okay. So they would need a fifth.
So they also need a fifth. Yeah. Well, why not Shooter?
Yeah.
Let's throw Shooter in there. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, if Claudio is in it, it would make easy sense to have Eddie Kingston be the fifth and just go in there and beat up on Claudio and no one else. Just
be the fifth on Blackpool's side?
No, be the fifth on Team Elite. And all he does is beat the fuck
up. So we don't have Ibushi.
So,
and Claudio's
for all in.
And Claudio's in with the Elite again, which we just saw and it didn't fucking work.
Yeah.
Man, I don't think the Elite would kayfabe-wise fall for that.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, that's... I don't know if this is... I don't think this is the right call.
Of having Blood and Guts at all?
No. I think I mentioned this before. There's enough between now and All In to do a stadium stampede.
Okay.
And do the 5-on-5 and kind of drop it there. And then set fragment into all the other feuds the next week. I think Toni Storm is doing a lot of heavy lifting to keep the Outcasts as a whole above water. Blood and Guts should be the women.
Oh!
Outcast versus Team AEW, and Jade would be the fifth.
Okay, I like that. Okay, so who will be on Team Outcast? So, Saraya, Ruby Soho, Tony.
Athena?
Really? Okay.
Former WWE?
Okay, yeah.
Who else is former WWE? Taya Valkyrie. That's your five.
Wow, Taya doing a heel turn and going. Okay.
That's versus, your five.
Versus.
Britt. Jamie Hayter.
Hayter.
Hikaru Shida, because she's been involved in the story.
Riho? Statlander.
That's what I'm saying. I would go Statlander over Riho. Because okay, Statlander right now is relevant.
Yeah, Statlander and then Jade.
Jade's your fifth. You're outsider. You're
tension between Statlander and Jade. Oh, nice. Yeah, I like that. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And it highlights the women. They have your main event, Blood and Guts, the big show in Boston. Dude, they're not pulling any punches. They're in the big TD Garden Arena for Boston. Okay. That's the same place WWE does their events and pay-per-views.
Okay.
So, and I think they've sold like 11,000, 12,000 tickets for that already.
Shit.
So this is going to be a big fucking deal. And I would have loved to have that women get that rub.
Yeah.
And ending the show with all 10 of them in there. Mm. And hopefully maybe a lot less choreography and a lot more blood and guts.
Yeah.
Shit, what else? Is there anything else? What do you think about Punk versus Starks? Oh, well, we're fast-forwarding because you didn't get to watch it. Punk obviously beat Joe, I just told you.
Right.
Punk versus Ricky Starks is your finals for the Owen Hart tournament, which, oddly enough, I didn't know this until they announced it. It's in Calgary.
Nice. I think I do remember hearing that's where that's going to be. Honestly, I'm a little disappointed because I love Ricky Starks. And I think it's kind of obvious that Punk's winning it.
You sure?
Yeah.
I'm thinking Punk's going to give the rub to Starks. I'm thinking Starks. From my point of view, what does this do for Punk? Nothing. What would a win of this magnitude do for Starks?
It would do a lot more for him. I agree. But I think that the money and the ego involved with Punk is like... That could have been what sweetened the pot to get Punk to come back. We're gonna have you win the Owen Hart. Because you know how he's all about Brett and all that. We're going to have you win that in Calgary on your show.
Here's how you do it.
Okay.
Joe interferes. Ricky Starks wins. And you get Joe versus Punk at the Ring of Honor pay-per-view for Samoa Joe's TV title. Because he's still a champion.
Okay.
And you could sell some tickets for that Ring of Honor show.
If that happened, I would be pleasantly surprised. But if we're talking about my anticipation level, I don't think that's going to happen. So I'm not as anticipating it as
well. Well, you have been happier with Starks against Joe.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Starks versus Joe. That way, Joe and Punk are still a thing where it's like Punk just can't beat Joe. And
That's what I wanted.
And I want to see Punk not necessarily just come in and win all the time.
Yeah.
Because I'm still mad at Punk a little bit. I want to see him get scolded and get got a little bit, and then maybe I can come around to liking Punk again. But in my mind, he's still sleeping on the couch. He's on punishment. He's in the doghouse. I don't want him laying in the bed with me right now.
Alright, let me tease you a little bit.
Maybe eventually I'll let him back in the bedroom, but not yet.
So that's this Saturday, Rampage. Uh-huh. Also this Saturday, FTR versus Bullet Club Gold. Juice Robinson and Switchblade Jay White.
Alright.
Two out of three falls.
Oh, okay.
For the tag straps. Give me a number.
Eight. It might be a little bit higher if it wasn't two out of three falls.
I'm sure it will be. I'm at a 9. You will get to a 9 when you watch last night's episode of Collision.
Because okay.
This is how they ended up getting the title shot.
Okay.
So you watch that and you're going to be like, I get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. The stipulation of two out of three falls just in my head means it's going to be either quick bullshit falls or this match is going to be a slog to get through. Yeah. I've never liked the two out of three falls.
Because the match never starts until the last fall.
Right.
They never go... Rarely, if ever, do they just get blowed out 2-0.
2-0, yeah.
Which I wouldn't mind either way. I wouldn't mind if FTR beats them 2-0. I think to stamp some credibility on the team, by chicanery, I'd have fucking Bullet Club Gold knock him out 2-0.
Holy literally, shit.
Literally.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay.
And then FTR worked their way back in the through every other tag team to get another shot at them and having and them making them fucking chore, make it a chore for them to get another title shot.
Yeah.
This is happening in about a week and a half. Death Before Dishonor, Ring of Honor.
Okay.
Their main event for the world title. Claudio Castagnoli.
Uh-huh.
Mark Briscoe.
Oh, wow. Damn.
Too little, too late? Because you could have had this at the last pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And you didn't. And you had Mark Briscoe in the middle of fucking Jeff Jarrett and Sanjay.
With
and,
the team
and,
stuff.
And FDR and, yeah. with all that crap. And, ugh, Karen Jarrett. Is this too little, too late? Or are you still intrigued? Sentimentally.
I'm interested. I want to see what they're going to do. I'm interested. It might be a little, too late.
Joe choked him out. He made it damn clear that he's not on Joe's level.
Yeah.
But now he's got the world title.
Yeah.
In front of him.
Yeah. It might be a little, too late. But I'm you said that and I went, oh. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. One more.
Uh-huh.
Before we end the episode today.
Okay.
Today. I'm not used to saying that on this. Instead of tonight. One more. Anticipation level. Elon Musk against Mark Zuckerberg.
Okay, so...
Yeah, we're getting there.
This is just a meme, right?
No. They are both on record. They are interested in getting into a cage fight.
Or with actual each other?
Fight. Yes. Or against each other.
Elon wants to fight yes. Zuck and Zuck wants to fight Elon?
So you understand
Elon?
Why?
Not... completely. Like, it has something to do with Twitter sucking and Facebook is now making their own Twitter?
Yes.
Is that it?
Threads.
Okay, so...
Facebook just launched it. This it's already got 50 million people subscribed on Thread.
So this is... Was the Thread stuff tangential to this? Or is this, like...
Maybe.
Because of that?
Maybe. I'm not completely sure. I'm not as young...
This isn't a meme, right? This is
they're,
for
real?
They
reals? Both want to fight, yeah.
Okay.
And not digitally. Behind the keyboard, like literally, they want to ham it out.
I'll tell you this:
if it's free, I'm watching.
I was gonna say I'm not paying money to watch this fight. If it's free, maybe like if you're watching it and I'm there too. Okay, fine. Yeah, sure.
You'll DVR.
Yeah, sure. But like, I'm sure the fight itself is gonna suck. You know, this is gonna be fucking what is it, hobo fights? You know, remember that shit? Like
we used to call it the stinger. We don't use it no more.
Yeah, like this isn't gonna be. It's gonna be stupid, and I literally
like that celebrity boxing.
I literally thought this was a meme that like people just made up something about it and they're just attributing it to it. But you're saying they both gone on record and said yes, we want to fight. Yeah. Whatever. Okay. Anticipation level 0.
Who's winning?
Zuck.
What makes you say that? Not that I have a horse in this race. I'm just curious. You've never seen any of them do anything. Where is it that you're getting this confidence that Zuck is going to beat Elon?
He's younger.
Ooh.
That's all I'm basing this off of. He's younger. He's like...
And taller, right? Musk like, is like 5'6".
Yeah, he's like 40-something and isn't Musk like 50-something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
And Musk got a lot of kids, so he's stressed out all the time. So it's not going to take much to knock him off.
Yeah, I got Zuck.
Are you got any jobs going on in the next couple weeks?
Yes, the 29th is UPW 40.
Wow.
Yeah, UPW 40. It's our 40th event.
Is it 40 is the new 20?
Yes. But yeah, we actually have a pretty cool card for this event. So... Oh, of course, this is a good freaking meme. I didn't want to, or not a meme, a video. All right, here we go. So the card is we're having Chris Lyons defending his Cruiserweight Championship against the Don Vega. And then we are also having the Fireman Luther Black in a singles match against the Dexcellence of Dexecution, Dex Harm. I love Dex. He's good. We don't see
him
very often.
Who gave him that nickname?
Chevy did.
Oh, okay.
El Silencio is coming back Which is weird, seeing Adon Vega in a singles match and El Silencio in a singles match. You would think if they were both on the card, we would somehow get a tag match out of it. But no, that's not what's happening. So I don't know what's happening with LMC. Are they, like, officially just parted ways and they're still going to wrestle? Because the last time we saw LMC, Adon Vega got jumped and El Silencio lost the tag titles just fighting by himself. And that was it. We didn't see El Silencio forever. And now he's back, but he's going to be fighting Diego de la Cruz. Okay, cool.
Oh, La Charisma? Yeah. Intel?
I don't know.
Ooh.
And then we're going to have a singles match. Former champion Jay Davis is going to be taking on Sam Stackhouse. He's trying to fight his way back up to maybe getting back to the main event status.
Sam Stackhouse. Sam Stackhouse. Has that ring been reinforced?
Yeah, I hope it has. I hope it has. But there's a lot that's been going on with Jay Davis and Johnny Blade and Blade Enterprises. You know, there was a lot of tension surrounding the fact that Jay lost the title. Jay and Johnny weren't really seeing eye to eye. Jay Davis may or may not have put hands on Johnny Blade. It was a scene. So we'll see how that goes. Manhattan Project is going to be defending the tag team championships against Purple Haze. So yeah, seeing Prince Alexander come back, that's going to be real cool. We haven't seen him in a while. And then for your main event, new UPW heavyweight champion Ransom will be defending his title for the first time against T-Ray, the Ray of Light, the best kept secret in Texas. T-Ray. So yeah, man, that's a tall order for your first defense. T-Ray, while we haven't seen him in UPW all that much, I have seen him in DZW and other promotions all around Texas, and that boy can go.
Yeah,
he's legit, man. He's fucking great. I love T-Ray. But yeah, T-Ray versus Ransom, that's a tall order for Ransom, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the 29th down in Santa Fe. We're going to be in the Santa Fe Fire Department. So make sure you come on out for that. And your boy will be ring announcing. Maybe also doing commentary, because that's how it's been the last couple of times. I do ring announcing. Then I run over to the commentary booth and I start commentating.
Dang.
Yeah. They got me pulling double duty. Still only give me one hot dog and one handshake. That's it, though.
Damn. We'll be back in a few weeks.
Yep.
We are rekindling the fire. Oh. We're taking a road trip. We're doing the old school thing. We're going to Austin for NXT Stand and Deliver.
Yeah, that's the 30th, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, July 30th. That's the day after UPW. So you're going to have me exhausted with no voice.
That's the way I want it.
Hey, well, just shut up the entire time. Just sit there and
just look pretty. There and push. So we will be back here the Thursday before, and we will preview NXT Stand and Deliver. So hopefully, not Stand and Deliver, Great American Bash. Great American Bash. Yeah. That's how long it's been since we've been keeping up with NXT. So, your challenge is to watch at least one episode of NXT. Hopefully, at least the go-home show. Yeah. Maybe the week before as well. All right. So you know what you're looking at.
Yeah. Okay,
cool. But there is food in Austin.
There is.
And there's going to be wrestling in Austin.
Yes, there is.
It's going to be fun.
Hell yeah.
I can't fucking wait, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a preview for me, because I'll be driving to Dallas about 2 weeks after that.
Oh, yeah?
For two nights of Metallica.
Oh, hell yeah.
And Scott's birthday's in the middle, so we're going to Medieval Times.
Nice.
Never been.
That sounds real cool, man.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So, can't wait, man. 3 weeks.
All right.
3 or 4 weeks, but that's
Something like that.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
That's it. Anything else?
That's it. We have a show. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Yo. Oh man, that was good.
Woo!